Lord be with you. Today is the last day of the church year and the end of the church season that we call Pentecost, a season that culminates with this feast day that we call Christ the King. One of the things that I really love about being in a church that observes the church year is how it corresponds to the actual seasons of the year, so that seasonal change becomes a teaching tool for us. Pentecost spans the seasons of agricultural growth, and spiritual growth is emphasized. Easter comes after spring begins. We celebrate the resurrection and new life in Christ. Christmas comes right after the shortest and darkest day of the year, and the days start to get longer, and the light grows. But today is the end of the church year, and in late November, it's getting dark earlier, and the days are shorter. Darkness comes with a certain tyranny. It imposes new conditions on us. It curtails certain activities. It makes things more difficult. And even here in sunny Sacramento, we feel the dark and the cold. But further north, the authority of darkness hits with profound psychological force. In Finland, where I was in July at the height of summer, when sunset was at close to 11 p.m. at night, the sun today was up for less than 7 hours, setting at 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. In places such as Helsinki, seasonal affective disorder, SAD, makes many people depressed and even suicidal, and it is only cured with regular and ample doses of artificial light. Darkness has an undeniable authority to it that we cannot escape entirely. And speaking now perhaps to the spiritual aspect, let's dwell on the limitation darkness places on us. Darkness deprives us. It limits our choice. We may call it freedom when people reject Christianity and the church, but the light of God's word shows that they're really in bondage, chained to the darkness and deprived of free will. Darkness deceives us. In the dark, it's harder to tell what a thing is. It's easier to make mistakes. We may call it just keeping busy, when in the light of God's word, what's really happening is that we're neglecting those around us, perhaps even our own families, abdicating our true vocation, which is to look after others' needs first. We may call it just having fun when in actuality people spend their lives and fortunes on trivial pursuits. Darkness disorients us. We can't see where we are going. Some may call it progress, but is it really progress when what is evil is increasingly praised? What is deviant is taught as the norm? When, whether it's politicians or paupers, the guilty are acquitted and the innocent are not protected. When good institutions are attacked in favor of anarchy. When freedom of speech, religion, and protection are lumped together with fascism. Darkness disorients us. And darkness depresses us. Without light, we fall victim to maladies of the mind. We may call it clinical, but is that all it is when loss spells either despair or denial, when pain is treated with opioid self-medication, and when loneliness becomes almost epidemic? Darkness is a despot, a tyrant, which would deprive us, deceive us, disorient us, and depress us, and ultimately destroy us. And in its grasp, humanity has no choice but to be tyrannized and terrified by the prince of darkness, Satan himself. But our epistle reading for today has some incredibly good news for us. Verse 13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The scripture tells us this, that there is a king who has come to this domain of darkness, this fallen planet so loved by God, and that God, through this king, has rescued us from the authority of darkness and set up this king, his son, as our new authority. Well, just what kind of authority does this king have? What kind of power does he exercise? There are actually a number of reasons why we could call Jesus king. One amazing thing about St. Paul's letter to the Colossian churches is how complete a description is given of the true identity and position of Christ the King. As the firstborn of all creation, Christ Jesus, who created all things, claims all things as his inheritance. Firstborn sons in ancient cultures customarily inherited a double portion of all that belonged to their fathers, and in some cases, they stood to inherit it all. In the case of Jesus, all things were made through him and for him. Our text even says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What else would Christ Jesus be other than the King of creation? But there's more. Because Jesus isn't just the firstborn of creation, he is the firstborn from the dead. This king of creation, you see, didn't just claim his place as God's son and assume his throne. He came to earth. He came to do battle with the darkness, to give his life in battle with the darkness. In Christ, then, the two great stories of Scripture, of creation and of redemption, come together in the person and the work of Christ, firstborn of creation, firstborn from the dead. In him, says St. Paul, we have redemption. Now, every one of us has felt this, that the times when it seems that darkness is your master and you are its slave. But Jesus died to take you away from that tyrant and to transfer you to a better kingdom, a better authority than the authority of darkness. And if there were no other reason to call Christ king than this, that he has redeemed us from the domain of darkness, it would be enough. Jesus came to this present darkness and gave himself up, surrendered his authority, and went down into the darkest of all places, to death itself, because he loved you. And it was dark that day, wasn't it? The juxtaposition of our Old Testament text and of the book of Colossians passage with Luke's account of the crucifixion creates this supreme irony that Jesus' crucifixion was in fact a coronation of sorts. It was his coronation as king. And in the very next verse, beyond our gospel passage, we are told that it was now about the sixth hour and there was darkness over the whole land, until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. But God raised him from the dead, and Christ defeated the darkness. And now he lives and reigns as king and exercises his authority over every authority in heaven and on earth. And for those of you who are baptized into King Jesus, God has snatched you away from the darkness to live under the authority of Christ. And every day, Jesus drives back the darkness once again. Does darkness still draw you? Does it tug at you? Of course it does. Perhaps you sinned yesterday. Perhaps you sinned this morning before church. Perhaps you've sinned during this service. But never again will you be under the authority of darkness. Maybe you feel darkness has deprived you, that you can't help yourself, that you're bound to sin. Are we not like Paul who said, I do what I don't want to do? Are we still sinners? Do we still sin and feel the gravity of darkness? Yes, in a sense we do. Of course we do. But praise God that he doesn't help those who help themselves. You know, that old adage isn't even in the Bible. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the helpless. That's the scriptural truth. And the truth for us who are in Christ is that we, who were once able to do no other than sin, now we are able not to sin. And when we do sin, Jesus says, "My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven." But maybe you feel darkness has deceived you. Is it possible that we can still fool ourselves and work in the darkness in total oblivion to maybe who we really are? Of course that's possible. But Jesus shines the light of his word, the word of truth, and exposes our sin to ourselves that we may confess it and be freed. Maybe you feel that the darkness has disoriented you. Is it possible that we can still get lost in this life, so lost that we don't know how we're going to find our way back again? Of course we can. But Jesus comes and says, "Follow me. I know the way, and I am the light, and whoever follows me will walk in the light of life." You don't have to know exactly where you're going, because I, your King, am the way, and I am the light and the truth. Maybe you feel darkness has depressed you. Can we still feel enslaved to disturbing thoughts, besetting moods, desperate emotions? Of course we can. But Jesus speaks these words to us: "Peace, be still. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have prayed for you that my joy may be fulfilled within you." When I was in Germany this last summer, I attached myself to a Lutheran congregation, which is mostly Iranian and Afghani converts from Islam. And I asked Pastor Gottfried Martens, "Why do they convert? They don't have to. It's not required by law, certainly. And at this stage of the game, converting and becoming Christians is no help to the asylum process in Germany. Why do they convert?" And he said, "Because most of them grow up knowing that they're going to hell, knowing that this is, in fact, their destiny, knowing that they live in darkness and that only darkness awaits them unless Allah does something merciful and unexpected. And when they hear the word of God's grace, it sounds almost too good to be true. And then the light turns on for them and they rejoice. They can hardly believe their good fortune at Jesus having found them and delivered them from darkness." But this, in fact, is true. We know it's true. Beloved in the Lord, mark this. Jesus descended into the darkness and rose as the light, and he ascended to the throne of heaven, so that that light and glory, that goodness and truth, that life and love belongs to you, and that Jesus is Christ, your King, so that all of this becomes your inheritance. And when he comes again, you will live in that light and you will have a place because he has qualified you for this inheritance. God the Father has qualified you for that day when the darkness is gone and the light of Christ is all that remains. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.